And welcome to the SDO Podcast, Unknown Secrets of Internet Marketing. My name is Chris Burris, one of the owners of EWR Digital.
And my name is Matt Bertram. I'm your SEO strategist.
The SEO strategist and also one of the owners of EWR Digital. And even the founder, like that can go into the description appropriately.
You got to correct that a few times.
So I'm looking at the date of our last podcast, and it was 11/9/2020. Today's 12/15/2020.
So Matt, what happened?
That's a long time.
Yeah, well, I got COVID, and then your wife's mom died, and then we had to hit Amazon bestseller list. So, like, there's some things that needed to happen.
Oh, wait, that's right. That's like right behind me, right? That's the Amazon bestseller right there. Rise of the Personal Brand. Does it look like I'm looking at it?
Because what number is that? It's a little grainy. What
looks like it's number one.
Oh, okay.
And then that's number two, conversion funnels. Number one, Rise of the Personal Brand. If you're just listening, I've got the Amazon bestseller list printed up behind me on the green screen, and I'm pointing at our book that is an Amazon number one seller. I think we made three categories, didn't we?
Yeah, we actually made five. But I mean, no one's counting or anything. sales and presentations, online marketing, small business marketing, business etiquette, and then there's one other category I can't remember. But yeah, we did pretty dang good.
Good. Well, high five.
We had Chris and I and seven other co-authors put together a book, kind of an extension of Build Your Brand Mania, how different people built their personal brands. All people were pretty heavy hitters in the influencer space. And got that out there, did a book launch and hit a home run, knocked it out of the park. Any one of us could have hit, I think, Amazon bestseller. I think, you know, when you have nine different people together, it's quite a good
it's a powerhouse. Absolutely. So, but like Amazon bestseller, COVID, Forbes article. Was there a Forbes article in there?
Yeah, I did just get my first article in Forbes. Yeah.
Boom. That is awesome. Search Engine Journal quote. Actually, we'll be referencing that in our review. Our testimonial. Pretty awesome. So we've been busy. We apologize. We're back. Our last one was Gary, right? Our last
podcast. Yeah, I mean, that one should carry. You should have had to listen to that one a few times. There were so many nuggets in there. And so that's what we're going to extend upon today. We're going to talk more about EAT. We really believe, as kind of a new direction with the Google algorithm, EAT is becoming more and more important. And it's something that we're focusing on internally with our clients. Also, just one quick note, you know, I've talked to a few clients as we're kind of end of the year planning into next year. Want to let everybody know our agency is quite healthy. PPP took great care of us. All right. So we're quite healthy. And we've been doing some really positive things as an organization. So we're a healthy company. We're focused on the SMB market. So, that's our focus going into next year. We do work with some bigger brands, but they're knocking on our door, asking us to help them with SEO strategy. But our primary focus is the small and medium sized business. So don't worry about that. We're not going anywhere. As an agency, we do have a couple fun side projects that Chris and I have started because the team's growing and we, have some really talented people. So we're doing some other things, but our primary focus is SMB. We are a healthy company. We're not going anywhere. This podcast has been going on for 10 years. Agency's been around 20 years. Don't worry. We're here to stay. We're a rock.
Yeah, we're not satisfied with 3.5 million downloads like that. That's just not a satisfying number. The goal is 10, right? That's the goal.
I don't have COVID.
We are broadcasting live from Houston, Texas, in actually two different locations in Houston, Texas. And Matt and I, we are your results rebels. Here is the testimony. I got to just jump into this. This is from Chris Kremitos. How do you say it?
Kremitos.
Kremitos. There, that makes sense. He is the founder of PodFest. By the way, you were once a speaker at PodFest, right? Is that?
Did you drive that? Yeah, no, Yeah, Chris is a good guy. I like him and his wife and the organization. We've done a few things to help him out with side projects, and love the community there. I think it's phenomenal. And yeah, so Chris is awesome.
Excellent. His quote is, "Great and complete show on SEO, something most people are overlooking these days." Is SEO, and we're gonna jump in. The article is Google's EAT, that's EAT, busting 10 of the biggest misconceptions about Google EAT. And this is from Lily Ray Lily, SEO director at Path Interactive. Patif, to you.
Chris, we could be at SEO Mythbusters.
Oh, that'd be cool.
That's where we are today. We're the SEO Mythbusters. Yeah.
We can't say it, but we are it. All right, EAT, by the way, if you're wondering, it stands for expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. I'm excited that I was able to say all of those words correctly. Yes. So EAT, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Within the past year, really EAT is a major topic of discussion within the SEO industry. As I was preparing for this podcast, I was actually listening, reading quotes from Gary Ilsch, who is quoted in here. He's with Google, watching a couple videos of people speaking about EAT on some SEO stages, and it was pretty good. So here are 10, bursting 10 of the biggest misconceptions about EAT. Number one, just so you know, EAT is not an algorithm, right? In fact, right, let's start it off. Gary Ilsch, he says, Google has a collection of millions of tiny algorithms that work in unison to spit out a ranking score. Many of those baby algorithms look for signals in pages or content that can be conceptualized as EAT. That's what they're looking for. I don't know if you've got any comment on EAT.
EAT, everybody wants an EAT score, an EAT algorithm. It's not replacing everything that Google's been doing. It's really just a humanized, watered-down version so us humans can understand how quickly the computer analyzes things. And it's really meant for the quality rater, like people, the quality raters. Like, I think there's like 20,000 or something quality raters. You can even become a quality rater. I think it pays $15 an hour. And you got to work, I think, 15, 20 hours a week. I was actually, you know, thinking about going through and at least just taking the test, right? Yeah. Like, because I think that this is so, so important. And the guidelines, I think, are like 160 something pages long. So it's a healthy read. But yeah, I mean, EAT, I think, is like authorship came out a few years ago and they rolled it back. And now this is like authorship on steroids. That would be my summary.
Authorship on steroids. All right. So number two myth, there is no EAT score. It really was in the same Q&A with Gary Ilsch, where he says, no internal EAT score or YMYL score. Quick quiz, YMYL, Matt?
Your life, your money.
Your money or your life or
dyslexic. I'm dyslexic, but.
All right. Number three, EAT is not a direct ranking factor. So expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness are also not individual ranking factors. So there's no EAT score. There's no E score, A score, or T score. These are really conceptual things. Really, this was Danny Sullivan answered this in a tweet. Is EAT a ranking factor? Not if you mean there's some technical thing like with speed that we can measure directly, because there is no ranking factor, but it is signals that people are looking for as they're reviewing the results, the Google results.
Now, I think probably that someone could take, you know, so. Like, I mean, we don't know the secret Coca-Cola or Google formula, right? But I think that there are some best practices that I'm kind of putting together on, like, you know, EWR, like EAT ranking score kind of thing, of like, basically, here's some best practices that look like it's very important to the guidelines. And we're going to kind of, you know, 15 point list, try to check these off for our clients. And so it's like an informal EAT score, to kind of even bring it down further. But I think, you know, when Gary was on our podcast, he was really against that. But I'm sure somebody's going to create it, like Ahrefs or Moz. They're just going to come up with certain factors. I think, though, those factors are really quite hard to measure, right? So you can't point to something directly. So it's like it's a combination of a series of things that they're looking at, that each thing comprises of a component of the E, of the A, and of the T. So I think it's something that could be measured, but I don't know how, you know, algorithmically someone could grab certain things and calculate it if you didn't actually know what Google was doing. But I think you could put together probably some best practices, right? Some
estimates, yeah. Because that would be kind of similar to domain authority, right? Like that's just an estimate based on an algorithm that somebody's done estimating the Google algorithm.
Yeah, I think Ahrefs domain authority has some issues in it, but I think it's an estimation, right?
It's a good guideline.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, number four, EAT is not something that every, busting the myth. EAT is not something that every site owner needs to heavily focus on. Google is explicit in its quality guidelines that the level of EAT expected of a given website depends on the topics, right? For example, high EAT medical advice should be written or produced by people or organizations with appropriate medical expertise and accreditation. Whereas if you got just a website, like a hobby website, you know, what is the expertise, trustworthiness that you need for those, authoritativeness that you need for those?
Well, so that's what I would say, that's what they're trying to stay away from, is people giving medical advice that are not medical practitioners, because they got to review the quality of what's going on, or financial planning, or, you know, they're looking for people with certifications within that your money, your life. And they're kind of expanding outside of that. But like, if you had a camping website, right? Like, they want to see that you have like authority. And if you're talking about affiliate links to different camping supplies on Amazon, they want to see that you like actually been camping, like that you're a camper, right? Like, that's a level of authoritativeness to talk about, hey, I bought this camping equipment. Here's a picture of me buying it. Here's a video of me setting it up. Here's a video of me talking about it. Here's the receipt that I bought it, whatever, like to justify, hey, I have experience in this product, right? Or like, it's just like leaving a review. Like, they want to have some kind of quality guideline, like on Amazon, right? Like, you and I can't leave a review for our own book, right? There's some kind of guideline.
No matter how good it is.
And then also some of the book, like if you leave a review, there's a verified review, like of someone that bought the book, and like an unverified review, right? So there's different levels of trust associated with it. It's like someone's reviewing it, but if they haven't read the book or haven't bought the book, how do they know it's good, right? And so, you know, I think it's a sliding scale, but they're looking at, do you have some kind of, you know, experience talking about whatever this topic is? And also, are you the appropriate person to be giving that experience, right? Because if you're saying something that, you know, like if you would say, hey, take this home remedy and, you know, you'll cure yourself of cancer, like what kind of repercussions would that have, right? Like, so Google wants to try to vet out to a certain degree to make sure if they're providing that at the top of the search results, it's accurate information.
So. Yep. Yeah, and it goes on to say, for companies who discuss YMYL, again, your money, your life topics, which can have a direct impact on readers' happiness, health, financial success, or well-being, EAT is of the utmost importance. It's also important to note that inherently e-commerce websites, because they get your credit card, are YMYL sites. So, all right, number five, the myth that we are busting. Focusing on EAT is not a replacement for technical SEO auditing or any other SEO objective. Addressing EAT does not improve SEO performance in a vacuum, right? So there's a clear understanding that it's important, but for sites that have been negatively impacted by algorithm updates, EAT is just one area to consider. And we can talk, I mean, we could talk probably 10 podcasts about like technical SEO and the things that we see wrong on a daily basis, not even just a weekly basis, on a daily basis with websites that come to us whose technical SEO is just off. And if you've got this great authority, this great trustworthiness, then, you know, what value is that if your website's actually not showing up well, like if it doesn't show up well because of your technical SEO?
Well, yeah. So I would say that EAT is something to add into the mix on top of what you're already doing for people that were, they felt that were negatively affected by this update that happened kind of, you know, August, September, like kind of range of this year. And then there was a few like the Medic update and some other updates. I think they're all kind of really tied into EAT to a certain degree. But really people that are affected by it, it's probably not that they were affected by it if you're not doing anything wrong. Okay. It was probably that other people were hitting on some of these factors, ranking factors from EAT, and they were impacted more positively than maybe you were, right? So if you only dropped a couple ranking points, it was probably somebody else was more lifted up by it. You weren't like penalized from it, if that makes sense.
No, that makes perfect sense. So prioritize EAT among other SEO efforts in accordance with how severe the other issues are and how much they may be impacting your SEO results. Number six, EAT is not new. Neither is Google's fight against misinformation. With all the content about EAT, some professionals have claimed that EAT is a recent initiative of Google. That started around the time of August 1, 2018, the core algorithm update that happened then. However, EAT was first introduced in 2014 version of the Google Quality Guideline. So this is something that they've been talking about for a long time. And you know, if you look at the phrase that we say regularly, provide a good experience to the Google user and Google will look favorably upon you. And you put that like, well, good experience needs to come with from a trustworthy source, right? Sure. There's a reason that we lean on particular information more than other information, and that's the trustworthiness of that particular source. Well, one of the
things that I've really seen here happen recently, and you know, I would even, you know, encourage Google to consider parsing out these Web 2.0 sites, right? Like, so you got like they're dominating the top of the rankings now, right? Like Yelp and like in any industry, like Home Advisor, like because they're pulling together and they have a lot of authoritativeness of what's going on. And so a lot of these sites that are then reselling, I guess, the SEO traffic and generating their own traffic are dominating the search results. There's a couple kind of Web 2.0 websites, I think like expertise.com or whatever is one of them, that they built this site. Like I had a conversation with, I don't know that some of the owners, but they built this site like 6 years ago, right? And it just was just hanging out, right? It wasn't really doing anything. It wasn't ranking. And then in this algorithm change, there's certain factors that it had, and now it's shot up to the top, and it's one of the top referral sites now. And they actually can't even handle like the traffic volume right now, and they're like playing catch up because they built it. They kind of set the project to the side, and it's really taken off because they're, you know, Google's in there kind of tweaking some different things, and it had a lot of stuff that hit EAT and it just launched the site, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of interesting what's happening.
Hopefully they were on AWS so that they could scale it quickly.
AWS, all right. There's so many problems. I don't even understand what you just said. Like, I hate AWS.
Oh, well, yeah, but it is very scalable. You can scale it up very quickly. So And it comes with a lot of challenges. that's for sure.
Yeah, no, I feel like AWS has a lot of problems, honestly. But
all right, number seven, the August 1, 2018 update, the one that we just mentioned, was not officially named Medic or the EAT update. So this is just kind of interesting, and it's a myth. It was informally named Medic by Barry Schwartz, right? He's a frequent contributing author. The core algorithm update. Well, actually, core algorithm updates.
They're all core updates.
Carry a name. Say that again.
They're all core updates by from Gary, exactly. Right?
they happen real time and they're called Fred. Like, I think that's what Gary, when we interviewed him, he confirmed that. All right. Number eight, adding author biographies is not in and of itself a ranking factor. So Google is not able to recognize or retrieve information about every author. Okay, so here we go. Let's break that down. One of the most common recommendations to improve EAT is to ensure all content contains a byline for the author who wrote it. And ideally, each author has a biography or a dedicated page explaining who they are and why they can be trusted to provide high quality content. I'm going to continue reading this. In the Google quality guidelines, they repeatedly recommend that quality raters should look at individual author biographies as a way to determine the extent to which the authors are experts on the topic. So it's not just the fact that you have the author tag. It's like, what does your author tag say? It's like, great, it was Matt. And now he's talking about, I don't know, doing brain surgery. And he's a really amazing SEO guy. like the quality rater needs to take that into account.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're looking for mentions outside the website, but also they're looking at the About Us page and they're looking at like the authorship as it filled out. That wasn't so much an issue before. You know, again, we're developing some, I guess, unofficial guidelines or EWR guidelines. Like one example of one of the things that I'm considering is developing a gravatar for each person that writes on your blog, right? A WordPress gravatar. Linking it to that. Also, if you're a high profile person, you probably need maybe a Wikipedia page. Like there's certain sources that Google looks at that are very authoritative. And if they can go to that information and reference you as an author, then it's going to build that credibility. But even Google has said they're looking at mentions of you and your company and the topics you're talking about off your site, right? So you want to, because it's not just what you say, right? I'm a SEO expert. It's are other people saying that, like Forbes, you know, for example.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you mean in reference to the article that you recently had on Forbes?
Yes.
Yes. Very good. All right. So, and actually there's another quote here from Gary, which is, in web search, we have entities for very popular authors. Like if you were an executive for the Washington Post, then you probably have an entity. It's not about the author. It's about the entity. Like what is the entity behind the person that supports their credibility? All right, number nine, YMYL sites. Again, your money, your life sites are not the only websites being affected by core algorithm updates, and EAT is not the only issue causing performance declines after algorithm updates. While recent core updates have overwhelmingly affected YMYL sites, particularly sites in the health and medical space, there are other categories that felt impact. And really the example he gave was recipes. So have you ever worked on a recipe website, Matt?
I have not worked on a recipe blog. I just know that they get a ton of traffic.
They do. Yeah.
And, I could see that. I mean, you probably don't want to mix like arsenic, like in the recipe.
Again, Matt Weiss, who's amazing talented at SEO. Are there any recipes that you look up?
No. I look up recipes. I actually have a recipe book from college that, like, I don't know, my mom helped put together. And they put together all, like, the top recipes. And I learned how to cook all that stuff. And I don't know. That's what I use. Like, I mean, I'm sure you can have an iPad and you can pull up recipes really easily, but you know, I've found like sometimes I try things that are new and then they don't taste good. So
so you just go back to the old standards.
I stay close to the vest on like, you know, food sometimes.
I once cooked a meal, for a mutual friend of ours, Patrick, and he finished it and he was like, "Well, thank you, Chris. That was filling."
So he finished it.
It was filling. All right. Number 10, EAT is not something you can plaster on your site and expect immediate results. Addressing EAT takes time. So we all know there's certain SEO tactics. For instance, you speed up your website. Like, that's one. Such as optimizing metadata or fixing technical issues. You can see immediate performance increase. EAT doesn't work that way. It's because it's not a direct ranking factor. So you got to wait for not just like your site to be indexed, or for other sites to be indexed that are related to it to help support your EAT ranking. And
I think it's a multiplier, right? Like, I think that there's certain things that you still need to do for SEO, and that box of like above, below the line on authoritativeness, trust, expertise, has to be kind of over a certain threshold to kind of click it on, right? And then it gives you kind of a multiplier. And then, like, if you don't have that clicked on, if you're still doing, some of the stuff that you know works for SEO, it doesn't have as great of an impact. That's kind of what I've really seen that since August. And that's why I've been working to kind of retool some of the strategies, because now there's certain things that you have to focus on that you didn't have to focus on previously. And I think it's a good move in the right direction to try to, vet out spam, right? Like, to find, hey, and we've seen this like online, like you have a social profile or you have a social persona, and, you have to be genuine in that. And, you can't have multiple profiles. Like, I think I remember when Facebook came out, people had like, here's my work profile, here's my personal profile. Maybe you act differently. One's public, one's, private. What, everything's merging, all the different, platforms. Like, you maybe have a conversation a different way, but you're one person. And that's what Google's trying to identify is, okay, who are you? Right. And then, like, what kind of authoritativeness do you have on what topics? And let me consider that when I'm serving up, ranking factors or kind of blogs or videos or whatever to say, hey, this person deserves to be higher up, right? And so like a doctor should be higher up than, somebody, I would say most of the time, I think a doctor should be higher up than maybe some homeopathic person. But I think that there's some legitimacy to homeopathic stuff. But, what we're seeing with, I guess, the political climate too, the social media sites and the big tech companies are just going to decide what information we deserve to see. The better you know how to kind of play by their rules, I think the better, right? And so you can go read these quality guidelines. You could become a quality, you could become a quality person and know firsthand. But I do think it's going to become more and more important as time goes on. And I don't think I think it's a good direction to have some kind of credibility of what people are saying online. So you can trust what they're saying. I mean, I remember when no one would put a credit card in a website online, right?
Yeah.
And that trust has been built up, right?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. Well, that's it. That's the 10 Google EAT busting 10 of the biggest misconceptions. Again, Lily Ray, patif to you. That was a wonderful article to kind of get us refocused on EAT. Again, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. That is the content for this podcast. If you are enjoying this podcast, and it's been a while, so maybe you haven't thought about this in a while. We'd really appreciate it if you went and left us a review. We'd appreciate that quite a bit. Do you remember
EWRdigital.com/review will take you
review. To cool. Mm-hmm. You made sure that happened. He was like, you are not saying G plus. Oh, I said it ever again. I said it. I
just, no, it, no more of your web style. It was great in the 90s. It was great in the 90s.
It was great in the 90s. It was a thing.
It was hot. It was hot in the 90s. Yeah.
Well, we want to thank you guys. You guys have made us the most popular SEO podcast, one of the most popular internet marketing podcasts in the known universe. We really appreciate you. So thank you. Thank you guys for tuning in. We should be picking up our schedule more. Hopefully, the theory is Matt can't get COVID again, right? So that's a good theory. He may actually be writing another Forbes article. There may be another book, best-selling book in the works. Like, there's a couple of those things going on, but
yeah, I'm talking to Search Engine Journal, so I might be writing for them here soon.
So we really appreciate you guys and want to thank you guys for tuning in. And we would appreciate a review if you can leave one, ewrdigital.com/review. Yeah. Anything else, Matt?
No, that's it. Sounds good.
All right. Until the next podcast, my name is Chris Burris.
My name is Matt Bertram.
Bye-bye for now. Mm-hmm.